Bulldog Nation, you are now going to witness, watch, and listen to the best podcast in the league. Get set for a wild ride with From the Hill Podcast, featuring Wayne Cartwright, Damian Green, Tenarius Gooden, David Thomas, Jennifer Murray, and Corey Williams. Don't miss out. Subscribe now to From the Hill Podcast. It's time to turn up the excitement and make some noise.
Hey, yo, what's going on, everybody?
What up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, another great day to be a Bulldog.
Yes, it is.
So I just want to just say, opening up here tonight, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who is tuning in, just as you always do. All right. Want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to hit the like button tonight. Make sure, if you have not subscribed, if this is your first time ever joining us, make sure that you do that as well. Across the bottom of the screen, we have our latest updates of our fall sports schedules. So as you can see, we've got a lot of things in full effect. But I want to start first with this bottom line of this screen and just send a big shout out to our Lady Bulldog soccer team on getting their first win of the season over Howard on Sunday.
Yeah, congratulations, Bulldogs.
Yes.
But what makes that very significant is not only was it their first victory of the season, Howard made the NCAA tournament last year by winning the Northeast Conference. So that is a very good program building win for those ladies. So big shout out to Coach Prince and all of those ladies who are doing great things. So awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tonight we are continuing with our Football Days in Huntsville series as we conclude that series tonight, as we are getting ourselves ready for the official kickoff of our 2025 Bulldog season. And I know everybody's been waiting. All these predictions have been made. All this talking's been done. But now it's actually time for, as the old guys used to say, for toe to meet leather.
BTA, belts to ass.
So family, tonight we are excited. And we're excited that we have a good group of men. We have a great group of men that are joining us tonight. So as you can, everybody just participate in the comments. But I want to welcome to our show. Three of these gentlemen have been on our show before, and we're welcoming one. So I want to welcome for the first time to our show, Special Teams Coordinator Amos Jones. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, and thank you for having us.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great.
And then next, we'd like to bring in Defensive Coordinator Chris Schelling. Good evening to you, Coach. And he is frozen. All right.
There he is.
There you go.
There he goes.
There you go. All right, Coach. Coach Schelling. Coach, all right. Schelling. And then we also want to bring in the OC of the group, Coach Alexander. Good evening, sir.
The OC. What's going on, fellas?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's up, Coach?
Yes, sir.
And then last but definitely not least, we'd like to welcome in, preparing to kick off his first season as our new head coach of the A&M Bulldog football team, ladies and gentlemen, for the second time, please welcome Coach Sam Shade. Good evening, Coach Shade.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me, man.
What's up, Coach Shade?
All right, guys.
Yeah, so we got a full house here, and we're going to have a great time. So first and foremost, before we get into these questions tonight, I want to give Coach Jones, Amos Jones, the opportunity to introduce himself to Bulldog Nation here on From the Hill Podcast. So tell the folks where you come from, what you're into, and all that good stuff, Coach Jones.
Well, I'm a guy from a small town in West Alabama called Owlsville, about 50 miles from Tuscaloosa. went to the university and played for Coach Bryant. Got my coaching career started with Coach Bryant as a graduate assistant. And then through the years, I kind of migrated back to Alabama. And, you know, I'm happy to be here. Glad to get up here to help Coach Shade get this thing started in Huntsville and looking forward to it. Enjoyed a good fall camp and, you know, just really excited about it. But you can find me when I'm not in Huntsville, I'll be in Northport on the lake.
Good stuff. My first question is going to be to all you gentlemen, kind of not football related, but you guys have been in Huntsville for a few months now. How is everything? How's the family? How's the Rocket City and Alabama A&M been treating you guys? We can start with Coach Shade first.
Well, for me, it's been great. My wife and I, we're really enjoying it. Our youngest son is here with us. He's a junior this year up on the hill. He's enjoying it, majoring in computer science. And my other kids, they've all came to visit, and they're also enjoying it. So it's been great.
Coach Alexander.
Yeah, man, it's been good for us too. You know, my family came up at the end of May once the school year was over. So we kind of made the move then. We brought all our stuff from Birmingham, and you never know how much stuff you got till it's time for you to move. We had to make like 2 trips, man. We had to get a storage room and all of that. You know, that's the worst part of this job, really. But but they came up this summer, man. We got them enrolled. My son now, he's going to the 8th grade. He's in the Academy for Science and Learning. My daughter is going to Jones Valley Elementary School. So we got them all settled in, man. They're making new friends. They're hanging out. So we all locked in and ready to go now.
Nice. What about you, Coach Ellen?
Well, you know, I'm returning to the Hill. My family was already here. My oldest son, he goes to Hazel Green. He's a senior. And I have a 12-year-old. He's 7th grade at Meridianville Middle School. So they're excited. They had their first game last week. Both of them played well. And I'm just glad I can be in town so I can catch most of their games now.
Yes, sir. And last but not least, Coach Jones.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I had spent a few years recruiting through the years in Alabama, not much in Huntsville, but I've been very impressed with the city. Go downtown a little bit when we can. And, you know, my family's in and out. I've got daughter in Arizona, son in Nashville, son playing baseball in Indiana. And then Nathan, our middle son, is here with me helping us on special teams. So I'm grateful for that because at least I got one of the 8 of us or 9 of us now counting a new daughter-in-law. So we're excited. I'm really excited about Huntsville. Played with a lot of guys from Huntsville through the years when we were at Alabama, coached a few of them, but have been very impressed, very, nice. Very much so with the city.
Awesome. All right, coaches. We have been getting a bird's eye view of practices throughout the offseason. And it has been so entertaining. Can y'all tell us what has been some of the personal highlights for y'all just preparing for this upcoming season?
Well, I'll start off and say, you know, for myself, just the buy-in from our players, you know, that doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes it might take an entire season before you really get that buy-in from a group of players that you didn't recruit. You know, some of them you didn't recruit, some of them you never had relationships with, but just the buy-in from the team has been great for myself. And I know the coaching staff, we talk about it.
Yeah, I'll say for me, man, it's really just, you know, getting to know these guys, you know, a little bit deeper than what we did in the spring. You know, just spending a lot more time with them, you know, camp. You know, you kind of with them a long time in camp. There are no time limits as far as how much time you can spend with them on the field and off the field. And, you know, that's kind of what that time is for. But just getting to learn these guys a little bit, you know, deeper on a personal level, you know, just getting that bond with those guys from a the coach to player relationship. You know, it's been real fun, man. And then just to be able to, you know, see them let, you know, let their hair down some with the talent shows and stuff like that. And, you know, letting them, you know, kind of, you know, just be themselves has been really good for me.
Okay. I can say the same thing about the bond that we've built with these guys. Like Coach Shea said, it's been really quick. And these guys have bought in. You know, I have my Africa thing, but these guys, they love it. They're all in tune. The atmosphere at practice has been great. You know, they're feeling themselves, and I just love the way they're playing right now.
You know, I would come in with it. The greatest thing about special teams has always been about me. For me, has been that I get to know all the players. You know, both sides of the ball. I think Coach Chris and Coach Dennis, you know, do a great job on both their side of the ball, getting to know the other side. And from a special team standpoint, just getting to know all the players, I think we've got a great group of guys. You know, it's been January since to now, and obviously that's a lot of time in between there, but that's the thing, college football's changed. We had a long spring, we had a long summer, and we had a long training camp. Now it's time to put the pads on and go hit somebody else.
There we go. There we go.
All right, coaches. Hey, I'm going to piggyback off a little bit of what Jay stated, but I guess I'll start with you, Coach Jones. You mentioned that, you know, the whole coaching staff was here in the spring. Okay. And what I want to know from each one of you guys, when you saw, you know, I'm pretty sure you evaluate, because we in a season in college football, sometimes, you know, rosters are not the same and for whichever reason. But Coach Jones, when you saw everything you was working with from special teams, what was the first thing that you told Coach Shade?
Well, Coach Shade, I got lucky. He's had a special teams background. So we knew we needed a snapper right off the bat because the other kid had left in the portal, not knowing us. He just left before we ever got here. So going out and being able to recruit in that spring area where there were some leftover high school kids, you know, we were able to sign a punter. We were able to sign a place kicker. And so, you know, from that standpoint, it's been unique. So we were able to identify some issues we had in the spring and get them solved in the January, February recruiting period, which, you know, nowadays guys don't recruit too much in high school, but Coach Shade's made a priority part. So I was grateful for that. And, you know, just from the standpoint of the depth of the team, building the offense and defensive line, you know, building depth at every position, I think we've accomplished that.
Okay. Coach Alexander, when you saw the offensive line, because, you know, you're you know, with a lot of experience with offensive line and also offensive coordinator, what was the first thing that you identified as far as with Coach Shade? You know, did you say, hey, we got to go get some more big bodies? Or, hey, what, you know, what was the first thing that you told Coach Shade?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, you know, when we first got here, you know, there were some guys that were still around. Then we did have some to, you know, to make the decision to jump in the portal. You know, and it was a little bit late, you know, in late January, which is late for everybody. But, you know, you do have to address those needs. And we were able to go and get some, you know, just like Coach Jones said, some high school guys that we feel like can, you know, give us some depth as of right now. Probably not ready to be starters right away. But have the opportunity to grow, you know, into the program and be starters, you know, as we get going. But just to kind of, you know, build on the depth. I mean, I think last year's group was a little bit young outside of Carson Vinson. You know, we all know about him. You know, so we were a little bit young, but those guys, you know, they had some ability. So, you know, we did our best to try to keep those guys around. And I think for the most part, we kept the nucleus around and we just kind of tried to build around those guys as well, too. And then, you know, at every other position, you know, we just, you know, right now you just have to find guys, man, because the turnover in players nowadays is just it's so much. You know, and you never know, you know, you walk into a building one day and a kid is all in, and then the next day, you know, he's in compliance, ready to jump in the portal. So you just have to be ready, you know, every day, you know, for whatever, you know, whatever that challenge brings to you.
Oh, awesome. Coach Shellen, of course I started off with special teams and I'm ending it with defense because, you know, those are two areas that was a emphasis. And I know those are two areas that, you know, was that we needed to improve on. So what was the first thing that you did in as far as evaluating your defense and, you know, where you want to go with that?
Well, I just came in trying to see what guys that was hungry, what guys went out there and could tackle and run to the ball, wanting to give a lot of effort. So after the spring, we had to go and get some D linemen. You know, everything starts up front. I think we brought in about 11 or 12 D linemen after the spring so we can change this thing up. And I think we brought in some good guys, you know, Smallwood, Eldridge, and we got JB. We brought in some guys up front that can really help us because that's where the change needs to be. Well, we still got a couple of guys at the linebacker spot from the old team, Biambi and those guys. And we had to bring in some transfers, some guys that can play in the secondary. And I think we've done a good job of evaluating talent. But, you know, we always can get more. And we're still out there shopping. We're going to try to, you know, bring in the best players we can.
Awesome. Awesome.
Coach Shelley, I want to go back to this this Africa thing, this trip that you're taking the players on quite often. We had Demetrius on last week, and that's one thing that he said, you know, you always come out screaming Africa, Africa, Africa. So first, tell us where that comes from. And then the other thing that he said was, and he said this about the entire coaching staff, is that you guys come out with so much energy during practice. So touch on that, why it's important that you guys come out to practice the way that you do.
Well, you know, it's always a mindset. You know, football is built off of momentum, and you have to play with an edge, you know. So, you know, I try to get those guys started. Every morning when you wake up, you have to be in Africa. Either you're going to be a lion, where you're going to be chasing the food, or you're going to be a gazelle, where you're going to be running away. And typically, we're going to be that lion. We're going to be always chasing that ball, trying to get to it. So, you know, I just try to get them guys some kind of atmosphere to look at that, you know, we got to be hungry. We got to go chase. We got to want to eat, you know. So that's part of the mentality that we have to bring on defense. And, you know, we got to be violent. So, you know, I think our coaching staff, you know, they help the guys a lot with keeping their emotions high because you have to play with that edge. And I think we do a good job with that.
All right. So where we are here on Saturday, all right, you guys are getting ready to take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. They were 7-6 last year. Sam Pittman, sixth year as the head coach. Bobby Petrino, somebody we all know pretty well as the offensive coordinator and led by their redshirt senior quarterback, Taylen Green. So Coach Shade and then gentlemen just kind of round robin here. Coach Shade, just talk a little bit about Arkansas and just what you guys have seen from them and then talk about the preparement, what you guys have done to prepare for this game on Saturday.
Well, you take a look at Arkansas. They're a team, like you said, coming off of 7-6. I think they're a team that's going to have an opportunity to compete in the SEC for that SEC possibly the title, because you look at it, starts with quarterback Taylen Green, redshirt senior. He can do it all. He can run. He can throw. He can buy time for receivers to get open. And then they've gone out on both sides of the ball and brought in some really good transfers across the board. On the offensive line, they brought in some transfers. Defensively, they had some guys that actually came back starting up front. Both defensive tackles came back, really good players. And you go to the second level, the linebacking group, got some guys returning that are really good. And in the secondary, they went out and brought in some pieces to add to what they had. So, you know, we're going to have our work cut out for us against this team. And, you know, they're talking about, Coach Petrino, this is his second year as the OC there, and historically that second year for his offenses have been really good. So we got a strong test on Saturday.
Yeah. Coach Alexander, from the OC side, what have you done in preparations?
Yeah, man. So I think the first thing, you know, when you're getting ready to play a team is, you know, you have to start by looking at their personnel, you know, and, you know, just to kind of piggyback off Coach Shea, man, that personnel, man, is pretty good. You know, and you're going to always start with the, you know, with the run game, trying to see what we can do in the run game. Where can we find, you know, an advantage? And their personnel is pretty good. I mean, they return a lot of guys up front. The number five kid, Cam Bell, is pretty impressive. You know, he's going to be an all-conference guy, possibly, you know, a draft pick. You know, so he's going to be a guy that we're going to have to know where he is on the field. They also have a DN that's like 6'6", 275, and Quincy Rhodes. You know, he's another player up front that, you know, he's just got the, you know, freakish style body that can run. He can also play with power too. And then, you know, on the back end, if you just go, you know, you look at their secondary, they don't have a DB that's shorter than like 6'2". You know, so they have guys everywhere. So, you know, just, you know, I'm not saying it in a way that we're intimidated. We're going to go and play them. We're going to find, you know, different matchups where we're going to have some success at, you know, but they do have some players, and we got to know where they are, and we got to, you know, capitalize on our opportunities when we have them. So, you know, we've done a good job of studying them. We've seen all their games from last season. You know, we think we've got a, you know, a good plan for them. We got to go out and play, you know, no doubt about that. But we feel like we got an opportunity to make some plays.
Coach Schelling, I mentioned Taylen Green and I mentioned that offense. So from the defensive side of things, where do we sit in this preparation?
Well, it's going to be a battle, man. They got some players, you know, first start up front on the O-line. I think they returned three or four guys and they brought in some transfers up front. And then, you know, as a defensive guy, you got to stop the run first. And I think they got three dynamic running backs. They got some big guys. They got a fast guy that they brought in. And, you know, just like you talk about the quarterback, he's a scrambler. He can pass. He can do it all. And he got some receivers out there that can help him. So we're going to be challenged on defense. And we're going to ball down and we're going to go to Africa and we're going to fight.
oh man. And lastly, Coach Jones, I know on special teams, I know you guys, obviously that opening kickoff, you guys get on the field first, your unit, and it should be pretty loud. So, you know, from the very start, where are you guys at on special teams in this game?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, like us, they hit the portal a little bit. Their snapper's back. They hit a portal on the return guy. They have a kickoff specialist that came in from another place. Now, whether or not he's the field goal kicker or not, who knows? They have a freshman that they signed also as place kicker. The punter's back for the most part. You know, a lot of their team is back that played for them last year. Our biggest thing is you said the kickoff usually starts the game. So that's what we challenge our guys is, hey, the kickoff should show if we came to play. And if we put it in play that first play, we better make the tackle. If they fair catch it, we better be down there making sure he knows we were down there. We want to finish in the end zone, whatever happens and whatever comes off the tee, we got to cover it, so it doesn't really matter in that respect. But got a lot of respect for Sam Pittman. I was at the University of Cincinnati after Sam. I had some of the players up there that were still there when Sam was the offensive or the tight end coach at the time up there. So I've known who Sam was for a long time and really respect him. I think he's, you know, got the team probably where he wants it. We just got to go over there and challenge and do the things we can do and try to control the game on field position through special teams.
Mm-hmm. Take yourself off mute, T.
Look at me. I pulled my best Jennifer Murray impression.
Don't do that because I'm off. Don't do that because I'm off mute. Thank you. Just run your question. Thank you.
I posed a question to the gentleman last week. You know, you guys have played on some of the biggest stages, whether it be college or professional. Quad and beyond, they went down to Auburn, you know, last year and played in that atmosphere. Corey and I and Jennifer were down there as fans, and even as a fan, it's a little overwhelming. You know, as a fan, when your team is doesn't have the numbers that their team has. So how are you gentlemen preparing, Coach Shea, how are you preparing the entire team to get ready for that? And Coach Alexander, how are you trying to make sure your quarterback and offense is calm? Coach Schelling, how are you trying to get those guys amped up? And Coach Jones, like, okay, you kind of answered the question last time, like, how are you setting the tone for kickoff? I just want to know how you guys are approaching that atmosphere that you're going to be going into on Saturday.
Well, as far as the entire team, we've talked about it the entire offseason, really, you know, because we always talk about that first ball game. That's the one that you're working towards in the offseason. You know, you're working towards a 12-game season, but that first one is the one that gets you started, you know, and you always want to work toward that one. So we know they're going to have a huge crowd out there. It's a sellout. They're going to have a bunch of people in the stands, but, you know, we tried to simulate that as best we could as far as, you know, spring game, a lot of people around, loud music, things like that. Our scrimmage too, the fan day. Hey, I told our band director, man, I wanted it loud. Hey, play when you want to play. I was like, I don't care if you're playing, you know, while the quarterback calling the signals. Just, you know, just those are the type of things that you try to do. And fortunately for us, we do have some players that have played in some SEC Power Four stadiums. Obviously, last year, some of our guys played at Auburn. But you take a guy like Quad, when he was at Georgia State, he played up in Knoxville at Tennessee. So I don't think that, you know, the crowd is really going to affect him. But there are some young guys that we've got on our team that will be playing. And one of the things we're going to do on Friday when we get to Fayetteville, we're going to take the team to the stadium. I think that's important, having a lot of new guys that haven't been on that type of stage, taking them over to the stadium just to have them. I don't want Saturday to be the first time they look up and they say, hey, it's going to be 60-some thousand in here. So that's pretty much all we can do. And, you know, I think our other coaches have talked about it, and they probably can give you some other answers to that question.
Yeah, I think for me, man, I've been blessed to play, you know, at these types of stadiums a lot, you know, being that I played at Alabama. So, you know, I think one of the things that kind of gets lost, you know, when you're playing in games like this is, you know, yeah, there are going to be a lot of people out there screaming, and they're going to be loud, they're going to be throwing things, they're going to be saying stuff. You know, but I think everything still kind of all goes back down to preparation. You know, how did we prepare? You know, are we out here doing things that we know we can do versus trying to do something, you know, that, you know, maybe something that we can't do because of the type of game it is or because of the type of atmosphere it is? You know, are we staying true to what we do as Bulldogs? You know what I'm saying? Like, are we running what we do every single day? You know, are we running what we're good at? You know, and I think that kind of helps with nerves with our players when you step into that type of situation, because they're familiar, that they're hearing things that they feel confident about, that they know that we can, that they know that they've learned already, that they've kind of mastered in a way. You know, so I think that's one of the things that, you know, it's definitely one of the things we're going to do offensively to help combat with those nerves, because, I mean, it is what it is when it comes to that part. There are going to be some nerves. You know, it is what it is. And I try to also, you know, tell guys, you know, especially the beginning of a season, the beginning of a game like this right here, emotions are going to be super high, you know. And, you know, those guys are going to be running around. It's going to be their first game of the season. Their crowd is going to be loud. They may make some plays in the beginning, all right. But we got to try to stay even keel. You know, we can't have the big ups and downs in the plays. You know, we just got to stay even keel, you know, continue to play, continue to keep chopping that tree, you know, and good things are going to happen. And you just got to be ready, because I tell my guys all the time, what are you going to do if we're down 21 to nothing? And what are you going to do if we're up 21 to nothing? It's got to be the same thing no matter what. So we're going to, you know, we're going to go out and play. You know, we're not, like I said, we're not intimidated. We're going to go out and play, and we're going to give it our best shot.
Well, it's going to be a great atmosphere, you know, with us guys playing in the SEC. I know definitely it's going to be a great atmosphere. Like I tell our guys, those guys put their pants on just like we do, one leg at a time. So We just got to go out there and fight and be physical and run to the ball, and everything's going to work out. As long as you're prepared, you can get lined up, and you just play football. When you make that first contact, you're going to feel it, and everything's going to be at ease. You know, you just got to get that nervousness out, and then everything's going to play just like a football game. You're going to have to get your keys, your assignments, and you got to make the plays that you're supposed to make, and everything's going to work out.
From a special team standpoint, I think that's the biggest thing that Chris and Dennis both hit on. We just got to go be who we are. We've got to make sure that, you know, I mean, it's going to be fun for our guys to play there. It's going to be fun to coach there. We know what the crowd situation is going to be, you know, because just the size of the stadium alone. But at the same time, if we can stay calm and enjoy the moment, let the game come to us. And when we have our opportunity, like Dennis said, we got to be ready to make a play. And that's the bottom line, because I know one thing. When you make plays on the opponent's field, sometimes that crowd ain't as loud as it used to be. Right. So that's what we got to do. Dennis said it best. When we can make our plays, we got to make our plays, whatever side of the ball it is. And if we do that, we'll hear a little lulls in that big, loud crowd.
Nice. All right. I kind of want to move in a different direction and talk about our first home game. And we're talking about atmosphere. What atmosphere, and we have the Bulldogs watching and listening, and we'll watch the replay. What atmosphere do y'all need for our home opener at Lewis Cruz Classic from Bulldog Nation?
Well, first thing I want, I've been talking about it the entire offseason. Not just the first game, but we got five home games. And my thing is we need a packed stadium, and we need everybody in there at kickoff, loud, energy, juice, just bringing everything they got and giving that to our team, because young people, especially young student athletes, man, they feed off of that. They want the fans in the stands. They want the student body, the alums. They love that. And, you know, I've talked about, you know, our fans doing their part, you know, because the team, we're working to do our part. And if they come do their part, we feel like we can have a whole lot of success. And they'll be a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm like Jose, man. Not only do we want it, we need it. You know, we need the fan support, you know, for every game that we step out there at Lewis Cruz Stadium. You know, our guys have worked hard. You know, it's been a long off season for them, and you know, for them to, you know, like step out on their home field for the first time. You know, they're going to be feeling the same way Arkansas is feeling this weekend, you know, it's stepping out into their home stadium. And we want our guys to feel the same way. We want them to come out to a packed field, you know, with maroon and white everywhere. We want to see the little bullies everywhere. You know, any type of support that we can get, you know, from the city of Huntsville and from our fans, you know, it's just going to help us, and it's going to make those guys, you know, play and lock in that much harder. So our atmosphere, we would love for it to be awesome at every game that we play this year.
Well, it's a new season, a new team, and it's the chase. And we're off. And we're going to play with some attitude, with some juice, and we need to just get live, and the fans need to come get on board. Get on board with that, because this year's going to be exciting. And we need the fans. We need to bring their barbecue grills, their kids, and bring them out and enjoy this good football game.
That's right.
I think the other thing, too, is our university is growing, right? We added a lot more students to the freshman class. I think it's probably a record number of freshman class. So I would challenge the students as much as the local community to come on over and see it. You know, there was a soccer game yesterday on campus, and that street was packed with, you know, I'm sure it was a lot of parents and all, but our new students, our new freshmen, they need to get involved because of the fact, like Chris said, it's a new staff and, you know, new start for Alabama A&M football, and we need those guys to come out.
A big echo to the barbecue grill, like Coach Ellen said too. I need the barbecue grill. I need to smell that smoke in the air.
And listen, if y'all are dropping fish, I'm your cousin. Hey, cousin, I'm just gonna talk about it with my plate. And I'm gonna go bang in the stadium.
Okay, I'm sure you guys have, you know, got the two deep rosters. You know, who's going to be on the bus or the plane, you know, going to Arkansas. So, and I know the goal is to win the game, but how, but evaluation, you know, what are you all looking for as far as, you know, evaluating, because we know the two deep for this game may not be the two deep for next game. So what are you looking for besides effort in this game versus Arkansas?
Well, I know for, you know, for myself, you know, we're always looking for how guys are going to go out and play. One of our coaches on our staff, Coach Ronald McKinnon, man, he said something a few years ago. He talked about going out and facing that stranger, you know, that guy that you hadn't been practicing against in spring ball and in camp. How are you going to perform when you're playing against that stranger? And obviously, like you talked about, we feel really good about the effort, but what about the focus and the execution? What about when that guy wins a rep against you? How are you going to come back the next rep? Are you going to hang on the last play, or are you going to move on to the next play? So there are a lot of things that we are looking for in this ball game, because we've got some guys on this football team that we've never been in a real game with before, and sometimes you just don't know how guys are going to respond, how they're going to act in certain situations. So we're looking for a lot in this first game.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. You know, offensively, I know one of the things we talked about as a staff today as we were starting to set goals is we want to try to have a goal of reaching an 80% execution rate on every play, meaning everybody's doing what they're supposed to do at least 80% of the time on every play. Now, we know sometimes we're going to get beat, you know, and that's fine. That's football. But are we doing what we're supposed to do? You know, I think if that's one of the biggest goals that we're going to have, and if we can complete that goal, you know, that's going to give us an opportunity to be successful, not only in this game that we're playing Saturday, but, you know, in the games in the future. You know, we're not going to say anything about yards or points, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, right now, just as at an execution, you know, level, can we do it 80% of the time with the guys that we have on the field? You know, like I said, if we can do that, we feel like we got a chance to be okay.
Well, on defense, you know, we got to start with alignment. You know, we have a thing called AXCR. It's alignment, stance, key, and responsibility. You know, so if we can get lined up, I think we're going to be okay, because we've taught these dogs how to hunt. And you know, they got to get to the ball and make something happen when they get there. But the first thing they got to be able to do is line up and do the things that we have taught them to do. So once we get that done, I think we're going to be all right on defense.
From a special team standpoint, I think you probably, you know, when you first asked the question, it's a competition within the competition. You know, we've got some new players that we added. We've got some old players that we, you know, are still able to coach. I think the biggest thing for us is to show that, you know, we can compete and compete on a high level, play level-headed, not have a bunch of penalties that are going to set the offense or defense back in field position. So from our standpoint, you know, we keep pairs and spares. We might not have two deep all the way across the board. We might have a better player that's right guard on punt that could have to play left guard on punt. So that's kind of how we built our roster from the standpoint of special teams, is just making sure we go out there and compete every play and try to make sure that we take care of our job. We're 1-11 of 11. You know, we can't be the whole 11 guys. We got to be ourselves, and then we'll be able to take advantage of that opportunity when it does come.
Coach Shea, I wanted to ask, more so I'm curious to know, so you talked about how you guys address the team, how you, you know, preparing for this game, the atmosphere and everything, but have you had any players, whether it be a freshman or one of the seasoned players, come and approach you with like that one-on-one conversation about this upcoming game and how they're feeling? And I ask this question because a lot of times as HBCU fans, right, when we play these big-time opponents, I hate to say this, but we know what the outcome is going to be, and so we kind of want to stay away from these games. But we never get the players' perspective, and through social media, we're starting to learn that, you know, that the players look forward to these games for all the reasons, you know, that you name. So if you could share a little bit, if you had these conversations with some of the players that you spoke to one-on-one about the upcoming game and how they're feeling and their perspective.
Well, I haven't had any one-on-ones where the players have come to me about the game, so to speak, but I think Coach Shelton said it. I look at any football game, I've always looked at it as no matter what, that person across from me, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. And so I've never looked at it and said, hey, we're outmatched, we don't have a chance, anything like that. If anything, I think the majority of our players, particularly the older kids that have played college football, are looking forward to the opportunity to compete with the players at Arkansas because of them being in the SEC and some of those guys being on NFL draft radar and all that type of stuff. So that's big for our guys. That's why, you know, they're actually looking forward to the game because they get an opportunity to go out and compete against guys that are considered possible NFL guys, some of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a couple things here from the group. I need to go back here. Miss Clarine gonna get me. So Wild Wayne, please announce that all fans to be at the field house 10:30, not 10:29. But you come early if you want to, but come 10:30 Friday morning to see the team off and cheer them on. All right. Make sure you do that, Bulldog fans. All right. The other things I want to get to. As former players, do you guys get butterflies as coaches before the game starts? Anybody that wants to jump on it?
I played so damn long ago, it'd be a gas pain more than it'd be a butterfly. but I'll tell you one thing that I do know this coaching staff. You know, we got a great group of coaching staff that played college football. I know every one of us would like to be the guy that could put that helmet on one more time and set a pad. And from that standpoint, that's what you miss as a coach, is being able to go out there, and because football can still be a violent game. It just has to be sometimes played, you know, with different rules, but it's still a violent game that we want to play physical with. And those are the things I miss some 40 years later.
Yep. I guess you could say a little bit of butterflies, you know. And for me, it's just kind of like, you know, before the game, just a long wait. I don't think it's really nervous. I just hate waiting. I wish we could just show up to the field and play. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I think that's the biggest thing for me. You know, I think we get over there like 3 hours before the game, and we got to sit around in the locker room and look at each other. And, you know, it's just one of these days they're going to come up with it. They're going to make it to where we just pull up on the bus, get off the field, get in the pads, and, you know, and just go play, man. I think it's just a long wait for me.
Well, you know, Coach Alexander, to that point, I wish that I had that when I ran track at A&M, because we used to ride like 8 hours and show up at the track and be like, all right, we at the meet. It's time to stretch.
Yeah, man. That's a long ride right there, man. That's a long ride.
Hey, Wayne. All right. I had a question, Wayne. I didn't know if you were going to get into something else.
Yeah, I was going to go to the – go ahead. You got
it. No. Okay, so David typically asks this question, but he didn't this time. Pre-game. What are you guys listening to other than, you know, watching video, because we know you're going to do that. That's what coaches do. What music are you listening to get you in the best coaching mood so you can call the best plays, so you can adjust the right way? Coach Jones, we're going to work from the back this time. We're going to start with you.
I'm ready for this.
I'm interested in this, Coach Jones.
Well, I'll tell you a story of an old guy I worked with years ago. I mean, he was old coach, and he listened to heavy metal. And I can remember sitting behind him and listening to him thinking, man, this dude is listening to heavy metal. He was probably 60 years old at the time, about as old as I am now, obviously. But I'm I'm more of a movie guy on the plane going over there, and I'm more about looking at the weather and the wind and all that. So I'm not really a music guy on game day, because the players, thank God Sam made the rule, you got to wear your headphones. I just don't want no more distractions.
Got it.
So I'm the wrong one to ask about what music I'd pick.
Oh, yeah, you looking at that wind because you for the kickers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Coach Shelling? You listen to some of that African music, or you got something going on?
Congo.
Well, actually, myself, you know, I'm more of a meditative type guy. I'll sit back and, you know, close my eyes and think about and visualize the game and visualize things that happen and think about the plays, the favorite plays, you know. So I'm getting in that zone, really, just thinking about what I've watched all during the week. So I usually don't listen to too much music. You know, I'll watch the fellas and see how they're moving and, you know, see who's excited and things of that nature. I won't listen to much music, but I am an R&B guy, if you must say.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to piggyback on Shelling like this, man. It's different when you're a play caller, you know, versus being a position coach. When you're a position coach, you know, you ain't really got to lock in as much as you do when you're a play caller. So when I was just an O-line coach, I mean, my headphones, I had Jeezy playing. I had
There we go.
3-6 Mafia playing. You know, I'm from Memphis now, so had a little bit of 8-Ball MJG playing. You know, I'm getting ready to go. You know, but now I'm on the other side of it, man. Mm-hmm. So I gotta kind of keep my mind level headed, man. So I gotta be ready to make adjustments on the fly. And all that, but I do try to give myself a little bit of a 2-minute turn up, like we talk about right there before we run out on the field, because I still think it's a you know, an excitement factor for me. You know, just, you know, being able to still coach and play this game and still be able to kind of, you know, mentor these young men and watch them go out and play. So I still get excited about it, and I still try to live in that moment, you know, like they do right before they run out on the field.
Well, I've kind of, you know, gotten away a little bit from the music. Being a head coach is just so many things that are going through your head. So many things that you're kind of watching and just paying attention to. That is hard for me to, you know, really get into the music like I used to. And it's kind of like the question about the butterflies, man. It's just so much. I'm a play, and I'm one of those guys that I feel like I'm working all the way up till kickoff. You know, somehow, some way, whether it's just going over to a player and maybe a little tip or reminder here, or just checking on the pulse of the team, and you know, just, you know, how our guys feeling, how did warm-ups go, and all that type of stuff. So, not a lot of time for music for myself, you know, but. Every now and then, I like to listen to a little gospel kind of, you know, some Pastor Mike, you know, Big. It's gonna be Big, things like that. Really kind of get me going though.
That's some awesome stuff. So we are here, and you know, all of the talk is been talked. All the camp has been completed. You guys have gotten through some really stifling heat, and you guys got some great team bonding. We've greatly enjoyed dog days. That stuff has been really, really cool to see that be put out there. We're everybody's excited. Everybody's excited for this new regime. They're excited for 3:15 p.m. Central on SEC Network. Right down there in Razorback Stadium. Donald Reynolds, Razorback Stadium, Fayetteville, Arkansas.
For
your 2025 Alabama A&M Bulldogs,
let's get it.
The football
let's
field
go.
Ready to roll.
Let's get it.
The chase is on. The chase is on.
The chase is on, baby. It is on. Bulldog Nation out there, wherever you are, you better get with us because special things are on the way. Coach Shade, I'm gonna give you the last word. Talk about Saturday and what in the season and what you need from the people and what they can expect to see. You get the last word here.
Well, first thing I want to say, man, is we had a good camp. It's been a good all season, not just by the players and the coaching staff, but our support staff, our athletic trainers, our equipment people, our video people, our administration. It's so many people that make a football program what it is. And just thankful for everybody that's involved, and we're excited to go out to Arkansas and put on display this 2025 edition of the Alabama A&M Bulldogs. And so the chase is on.
Indeed it is. Well, gentlemen, this has been a pleasure to have you all on our show, and definitely looking forward to having you on again this season. If time allows, and Coach Shade, I'll definitely be talking to you on Tuesday during the coaches conference. And let's go Bulldogs! Let's go Bulldogs!
Let's go
Bulldogs! Appreciate y'all, all right. Man. Good luck.
Appreciate y'all. God. Let's see y'all soon.
Look Saturday, fellas.
All right.
Right. SEC Network.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
I almost hit the end button.
I just have to say, as a person that just loves Project Pat, that's my type of care. No, yes, all of that.
Hey, and he said 8-ball and MJG. I was like, hey,
Space Age Pippen, ain't it? I can relate to this to Coach Alexander. He was talking about, you know, sitting back waiting and just wanting to get on the field because speaking from a band perspective, you know, when I was in the band, the mentality we had was, you know, we finna go and blow the other band out. And so there were times where we get to the stadium, we just sitting there as well, you know, waiting for the game to start, waiting for us to march in and just like, man, can we get this over with? So I can definitely understand where he's coming from with that. Just getting to the stadium, putting your pads and everything on and just go.
Yeah, I remember playing football in middle school and high school. One thing I hated was halftime. Like, I hated to get, because now you got to reset.
Yeah.
Like, you go in, you got to go sit down. Like, I like to keep it going. We just give you 5 minutes. We'll be all right. I hated that 15, 20 minute halftime, man. Like, let's keep it going. But that's when I was young and had energy. Now, I'll be.
You appreciate it now,
halftime.
Don't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna need 2 days halftime.
Yeah,
man. So, all right. So we got a new segment coming in this last segment of the show. We're gonna go ahead and bring it up. We tried to say this in the first couple of seasons and we didn't do it too well. So we just gonna bring this up on screen here. You know what time it is, y'all, with week one in the SWAC. So these SWAC game picks are brought to you by Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard, located in Madison, Alabama. Whether you're craving something cool and refreshing or smooth and creamy, Rita's has you covered. Stop by today and taste the flavors that make every game day sweeter. Rita's Italian Ice and Custard, located at 8042 U.S. Highway 72 West in Madison. So this is our Rita's Chill and Pick'em segment.
Shout out to Rita's.
Look, man, y'all said it. Y'all did it. Shout out to Rita's. All right, so Everybody, you know what it is. In the comments, as we bring the games up, you make your picks, you make your comments. You can throw a score up there if you want to. Nobody's going to be mad at you. This is all just family tonight. So let's get it rolling if we can with the very first game that is Thursday night. You got it going down right there in the Magic City at Protective Stadium. Alabama State entering year four under the regime of Eddie Robinson, going down to Trent Dilfer in those UAB Blazers. T. Gooden, you are up first.
UAB, no questions asked.
All right, Jay the Great.
So I'm going to be at this game, and I kind of expect like a little mini classic vibe. So with that being said, y'all know UAB going to win, but I do expect Alabama State to make a statement in the first half. I really do.
Okay. Corey?
For Trent Dilfer's sake, UAB.
Listen.
UAB for his sake.
All right, so Dave, is it a clean sweep?
It's a clean sweep, man. UAB.
Okay. OJ said UAB by 1,000. I like this score right here, though. I think Reese Dawg, yeah. I think this is about where you at. Yeah. All right. This is a really, really good one. All right. Alcorn State, second year with Cedric Thomas. They go down to Natchitoches, Louisiana, to face Northwestern State, who is trying to win their first game in 1,000 days. Yes, you heard it right. They went 0-12 last year. Wow, all right. Wow. Yeah. All right. Sneaky game. Dave, who you got?
I'm going to go with Alcorn.
Okay. Corey.
Man, I lost 1,000 games. That's almost over 2 years. And I know Prairie View beat Northwestern last year, and Grambling beat them the year before. Mm-hmm. So Alcorn better win this game. Alcorn.
All right. Jay?
Alcorn, that, you know, rep for the swag so we can get an out-of-conference win so far this season. So, out-of-conference FCS win. So, Alcorn.
All right, T. Gooden, do we have a clean sweep?
No, sir. I'm going Northwestern State. I think they went 0-12. I think they hungry this year. I'm going to go with Northwestern State. I think it's going to be tight, though. But I think they'll win. It's at home. They got the crowd back. First game of the year. I'm going to go with Northwestern State, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
Said, no, sir.
1,000 days since they last won, man. That's Jesus. Wild. All right. Oh, here we go. Pitt Bull Stadium down there in Miami with the opener of the regime of Willie Simmons, head coach of the FIU Panthers, hosting Bethune-Cookman, Raymond Woody, third year. A lot of pressure. T. Gooden, you first.
Now, when we say Willie Simmons, we mean FAMU old coach.
FAMU's old coach, correct. Willie Simmons.
Correct. So I'm gonna go with Coach Simmons, man. He was a good coach at Bethune. I think he's used to the type of talent that Bethune has. I think he might have the little edge in this game. So I'm going to go with FIU.
All right. Jen?
Come on, man. Come on. FIU.
Corey?
Man, Willie Simmons finna make a statement this first game. FIU by a mile.
Dave, do we have a clean sweep?
Clean sweep. Willie Simmons ain't got to do that much.
Man, Benny said Willie about to bust the scoreboard.
Right.
All right. Oh, whoo. All right. Listen, I'll have to go to the panel on this one. The only thing I'm going to say, Pine Bluff, whoo, boy, we going to pray for you.
A-R-A-P-B.
Yeah, I was on. Lions. I was on with listen, I was on the call and on yesterday. And Doc, shout out to my boy Doc. Doc told Coach Hampton, he said, "Watch out for the tortillas because they throw tortillas every time they score a touchdown down there in Lubbock." Yeah,
hey, one thing though, Coach Hampton gonna have them boys pumped up because he gonna give one hell of a pep talk. He gonna have them boys amped up.
They're going to need it.
Man, Reese Dog said Texas Tech by mercy rule. Man, if there was one, that would save them. All right. Yeah, our game here. All right. So this is what I want to say about this game here. All right. Listen, our boys, you heard what the coaches said. We just go out here, man. We compete, compete, compete. Doesn't matter about crowd noise. Doesn't matter about anything. Listen, everybody already thinks you're going to lose the game, right? Outside of our locker room. So, and even outside, I mean, it doesn't matter. You go out here, you get your season started right. It doesn't matter what the result is, as long as you go out here and you give 110% and you take away some things that can propel you into the next phases of your season here. That's love this matchup for us because this is a great opportunity to go out here and test yourselves. What better way to test yourself than against a team that won a bowl game last year? So, yeah, man, let's go.
That's right.
What y'all looking forward to? T, you go first. What you looking forward to?
So, I'm always going to look for the dub, no matter who we play. I'm always going to look for the victory. But other than the victory, and we kind of talked about this the other day, you know, I want to look and see how the guys play football. You know, I want to see the difference from what I've seen the previous years to now. You know, how they execute things like that. And I want to see the coaches. I want to see how the coaches, you know, interact. I want to see how they adjust. I want to see how, you know, they coach their team that, you know, like you said, the outside noise is, you know, saying that we're going to win. ESPN has Arkansas 99% winning the game. Well, it's 1%. There's always 1%, though. So, as always, go Bulldogs.
That's right. Jay the Great.
Listen, A&M could be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm still going to think my Bulldogs got a chance. So, with that being said, like T said, just kind of piggyback off T said, I kind of want to see, you know, those individual matchups, our offensive line play, defensive line play. I just kind of want to see how they handle these high-pressure situations. I'm excited. Listen, snacks ready, food ready, phone charged. I'm going to be hollering from Birmingham, Alabama. Go Bulldogs. We ain't checking for the bacon bits of Arkansas.
Corey.
Man, I think this game going to be better than most folks think it's going to be. You know, it's definitely going to be better than when they played Pine Bluff last year. Because they scored a touchdown on every drive.
70-0.
Yes, but what I'm looking at in this game is trying to ensure that everybody keeps their assignments. You know, no blown coverages. You know, just keeping your assignments on kickoff, staying in your lanes. You know, and just looking at assignments and just seeing those kind of things. That'll show what kind of growth we've had just looking at your assignments. And you know, and hey, if we're in it, you know, at the end, it put all the pressure on Arkansas. But I'm just looking forward to them going out and giving it all. And the readers informed me that if Alabama A&M scores a touchdown, anyone come there on Monday and say touchdown Bulldogs is buy one, get one free at Rita's on Monday.
Uh-oh.
The Bulldogs got to score.
All y'all better be rooting for the Bulldogs. You get score your buy one, get one.
Score touchdown and go to Rita's.
Can they mail me mine?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna call him like, "Hey, go Bulldogs!" Now, if you could just mail it, we just put the stamp on it.
All right, let's move. Oh, Dave, final comments on this game, man.
You know, I pretty much agree with what all you guys said. For me, I just want to see the fight. I want to see the fight. This is gonna be a tough team to go up against, and I want to see everything that the coaches talked about, us going out there playing Bulldog football, everybody staying to their assignments and just, you know, fighting till that clock reach zero.
All right. All right. Now let's continue on. Yeah. NAIA Langston. Yeah. Enjoy your time in Shreveport.
I didn't even know Langston had a football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we got to pick. We know who's going to win this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Let's go.
We're going to Grambling, right? Oh, now this will be.
Now, Southern, there's a lot of things have been said about what happened on Saturday night down there in Atlanta. They left a lot of meat on the bone. They got shredded on offense, on defense. But there are some things that you have to like on their offense, though. A couple of those long runs. They got some guys. Now they go down here in the opener of the regime of Coach Terrell Buckley, who says, buckle up. It's all right.
Same valley.
Dave, you're first.
Okay, so we know normally a valley is always picked to lose, but I think valley may have a chance looking at what Southern did last week. If valley can stop Southern's run, then I think valley got a good chance.
Okay, but what's your pick?
Oh, Valley. I'm going with Valley.
All right.
They trying to get one of those political answers. Man, exactly. Make it.
Go ahead, Corey.
Well, this is Valley's first game. Southern played a game. And I think Southern want to get that bad taste out their mouth. And I think Valley going to put up a fight at the beginning. But I think Southern is going to be too much. So I expect Southern to redeem themselves. And to get everything back in order, because you know if they lose this game, hey, it's gonna get ugly. So, but I think Southern will bounce back.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, it's gonna be Southern. I know that Southern has caught a lot of jokes, but I mean, you know, Coach Trey Oliver had their team prepared. Like, you know, he's a veteran, so you know, don't put too much stock into that first game. Man, it was week zero. So I fully expect Southern to bounce back and have a real strong showing against Mississippi Valley.
All right, T.
So I'll say this, and I'll make my pick. If Southern plays the entire game like they played the first half, they'll win. If they play even the second half like they played the second half of last week, they're going to lose. I think they'll play the entire game like they played the first half. So I'm going to go with Southern, three scores.
All right. And this game is a non-conference game for those scoring at home. All right. Next one. Hey, down there in the vet, the HBCU Go game. Hampton, 5-7 last year out of the CAA. Man, lost a lot of close games last year going down there against the defending HBCU national champions, Jackson State, with high hopes this year to make it 4 out of 5 in the SWAC. T. Gooden.
Hey, I'm going to go with Jackson State on this one, man. Like, I think that's an easy pick for me. I'm going to go with JSU. They'll be 1-0 over there on HBCU Go Saturday.
Jen?
Again, JSU, but Hampton will have a good showing, but JSU is going to pull it out.
Corey?
Hampton plays tough competition in the CAA, but this is at home, first game of the year, and I think Jackson just will have too much talent and they will overpower them. I think they'll really take over after the halftime.
Dave, clean sweep?
Clean sweep, JSU.
All right. Now for the moment of truth. The last two on the slate. We got the Orange Blossom Classic down in Miami.
Oh, Lord.
The Howard Bison coming down to Florida, Miami to take on the FAMU Rattlers and Coach Cozy's second season. RJ Jefferson was named starting quarterback, and we'll see what happens with the rest of it. FAMU looking to bounce back after a lackluster season by their standards. T. Gooden, what you got?
Man, I don't think those Howard boys, man, the type of the climate that they are in, like for the most part of their life, I don't think they're going to be used to the heat and humidity that Miami's going to give them. Them Florida A&M boys, they've been practicing in the swamp all summer. The more they're going to understand the conditions. So I think just the conditioning alone, Florida A&M will come out on top. I'm glad to get to see good early film of Florida A&M, though, so I can know what they're going to look like the rest of the season. But I just don't think Howard's going to be ready for these guys just because of the climate, and it should be pretty warm on Saturday too down in Miami, I think.
Yeah. All right, Jen, what you got?
Man, fam, you about to beat the horns off Howard. This is going to be a home game for him. It's, FAMU is going to get one for the sweat. FAMU is going to get one for the sweat.
All right, Corey?
I actually think it's going to be a competitive game. I'm not sold on Florida A&M. They got a new quarterback. I still think, you know, you got to have a solid quarterback to win. And I still don't think that they have the solution. However, I'm picking Florida A&M to win this game mainly because of the weather. But I think it'll be a competitive game. But I got Florida A&M.
All right, Dave, do we have a clean sweep?
Just to break it, I'm gonna say how. No, I'm gonna go with FAMU.
Look, Ronald Hunt said FAMU, Florida A&M to beat the Gray Poupon out of Howard. That's right. A new one.
They're gonna beat the Gray Poupon out of them. The Mecca. They're gonna get the Mecca beat out of them.
Listen, I'm in trouble. We got a Howard alum in the chat. I'm in trouble. I done said too much, my bad. I still mean it though. Swag up, me act down. Thank you.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
The 40th Labor Day Classic. Lord Jesus, this one has gone up.
This should definitely be the game of the week.
A lot of notches.
This should be the game of the week right here.
If you've been under a rock, you should have saw that press conference yesterday. All of the stuff has been making rounds. Look, Scotty did a show on it. G did a show on it. It's been a lot of talk about Chris Dishman, what he had to say, and also what Tremaine Jackson had to say in response. Lord, it was hilarious. But you know what? After all that talking, it's now time to get down and play this game, because this is a huge game. This is a conference game to start off, and it's going to be down there in Shell Energy Stadium Saturday night in Houston. Lord, I'm excited to hear what this panel has to say. Dave, you are first.
So I think Texas Southern won the last one, right?
They did.
And so, I'm going to go with Prairie View on this one. Coach Jackson got a great resume, and he's known for, you know, building a team. We saw what he did with Valdosta. And just his excitement and how he talks about the team, it gets you excited as well. And that's what you want, you know, to see with the program. So if their, you know, playing ability and their intensity comes out the way that Tremaine Jackson been talking, I go with Prairie View on this one.
All right. All right, Corey.
Woo, this is the unknowns for both of them. But, and one of these coaches going to have to eat all that crap they've been talking, but
I'm gonna go one more than the other though.
I'm gonna go with the home team. I think I'm going with Texas Southern. I think they've been in this moment, and I just think they as a team wise, they understand what they need to do. I think Texas Southern will win this game.
All right, Jay the Great.
Listen, as a former Houston resident, I've attended this game. Y'all, this game is intense already. And when you sprinkle in two coaches with huge personalities, it just takes it to another level. With that being said, I'm going with the home team, Texas Southern.
All right. T Good.
Man, I think it's cute that they're trying to, you know, make this in-state rivalry kind of, you know, on the Alabama A&M level. I appreciate that, you know.
ain't nobody going to do that now.
Yeah, I think they're trying, and I even appreciate it. So there's been a lot of trash talk, man, during this game, prior to the game. And hopefully with both of the coaches talking trash, I hope it's a good game. Like, I don't want it to be a blowout either way it goes. Mm-hmm. Hope it's a good game. I'll be watching on SWAC TV. But I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Texas Southern for the victory.
All right. just one time for the context here, man. Just one time. I just one time. I'm a.
You about to do it, Wayne? Are you about to do it?
Yeah.
coming out to see in the stadium. Make sure when you leave that you take a piece of grass, because when you leave on Saturday, you're gonna be taking a lot of grass. And also, thank you for wearing the Take a Selfie Cup color suit. All right.
it's that pain to him that takes me down. It takes me down through there.
Hey, but not to be outdone, the other side, okay, the other side.
Mm-hmm. So, but I understand what it is and what some people have to do. We don't have to do that. We just go about our business, man. And we've been on this hill working for a long time. We're going to get a chance to come off. And so, yeah, there is a different level of focus with us right now. But we've been like this since January 7th. We don't allow people to toy with our kids or our program. This ain't your uncle's Prairie View A&M football team. This is us. It's a new field around here. We don't take shots or disrespect kindness.
Do you think, though, some of that is just part of the game or part of his game and trying to generate some excitement? Do you see it as that at all, too?
Man, I went to Oak Forest Elementary, class of 94. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to recess. I don't play. We don't play. That's not us. It's not what we do about it. So I don't know what that is. I just know how we do things. So shout out to Miss Rector, my fifth grade teacher, for not making me go to recess because I didn't play the game. Yo.
This man said he don't even go to recess in 19 and told us when he finished elementary school.
Listen, that's a bar though. I ain't even gonna lie, that's a bar. I would say on the shirt. I ain't go to recess. I don't play. You know,
I don't play no games.
It's a good game, man. Hopefully, it is a good game.
Yeah.
Hey, the other line that he had that was dope though. He said, "Oh yeah, we gonna come off this hill. We've been up here. We gonna come off this hill."
Now that's why I disagree, because what hill? Thank you. It's only one hill in the swag. We let y'all, you know. Hey. I got a little one.
Hey, I'm just laughing. Look, he said the Notorious B.I.G. versus Tupac. Man, come on. Hey, man. So tonight, in all seriousness, though, but that was the segment. Shout out to Rita's, man. Appreciate all of the love from everybody tonight, man. This is exciting, man. Football is finally back. It's going to kick off in full earnest on Thursday night. You guys are going to be down there in Birmingham watching Alabama State lock horns with UAB.
Yep.
That'll be nice. And then we'll all be watching our Bulldogs, our beloved Bulldogs on Saturday and nice. All that great stuff. And then So, shout out tonight to Coach Sam Shade, also Coach Alexander, Coach Schelling, and also Coach Jones, man. So we had the head coach, the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, and the special teams coach. So that was a great time. Just thank those gentlemen. And once again, remember about the pep rally and the send-off, 10:30 a.m. Friday morning. Make sure that you get there and support if you can. And yeah, man, go Bulldogs. All right, so final thoughts tonight, Corey.
Hey, I'm just excited. Season's kicking off for our Bulldogs. Soccer got their first win. And so, you know, we're heading in the right direction. And hey, Bulldogs, score a touchdown so you can get buy one, get one free on Monday at Rita's. So we're looking forward to it.
Dave, final thoughts from you, brother.
Everybody in Huntsville, students, alumni, everybody, go out and support all athletic teams.
Yeah. Jay the Great.
Listen, it's kickoff, football kickoff. I'm excited. It is a great day. It's a great time. it's a great year to be an Alabama A&M Bulldog.
Yeah, T. Gooden, final words from you, brother.
Yes, sir, and I just wanted to make sure, you know, of course, we can't have everybody on all the time, but I want to also make sure I do give a shout-out to the position coaches at A&M. Shout-out to Coach Marco Coleman, defensive line coach, Coach Ronald McKinnon, linebackers coach, Coach Kenan Evans, quarterback coach, Jamal Fobbs, running backs coach, Antonio Carter, receivers coach, LaJuan Lawson, tight ends coach, kickers coach, Richard Wilson, chief of staff, LaRon White, Jason Ma, senior office assistant, director of football operations, Coach Nathan Jones, he's assistant special team coach, coach analyst McKenzie Howard, quality control Jason Stuvall, and quality control for the defense, William Sims, defensive analyst Corey Thomas. So just want to make sure we give a shout out to those guys as well, because they do a lot of the work too to make sure our Bulldogs are ready. It's not just coordinators, it's a whole lot that goes on to make sure that they are ready to play. So all those guys are appreciated. They put in a lot of work to have us something to be happy or complain about. So shout out to them.
Yeah, so for me tonight, I just wanted to just say to everybody that's out here in Bulldog Nation, and also just even everybody out there, HBCU land, man. Hey, great day. It's a great time, man. Make sure you get out there. You support everything that your university is into. If you're an alum, make sure you're giving, you know. And if you, it's not always just giving with your money. It's also you can give with your time, man. You can also help to recruit students to attend these illustrious universities, man, colleges and universities all over. Also, we just want to just say thank you again to all of our viewers, man. You guys come out. Many of you, you show up and you watch us every single week. You participate in the comments in such a mighty way, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate just the support that we get from the athletic department. Also, Dr. Wims, his whole cabinet. We appreciate all the support that we get. Bulldog Nation, we just want to make sure that everybody who can buy season tickets to football, make sure you can. Make sure you do that. If you can't buy season tickets, make sure you buy single game tickets. You know, bring somebody with you. Encourage folks in the neighborhoods, in the communities to attend, because this is a big movement that's taking place. And you definitely want to be a part of it. So From the Hill Podcast, we're just thankful. Shout out to our brother DT tonight. So for Corey C.K. Williams, Just Dave, Jay the Great, T. Gooden, I'm Wild Wayne Cartwright.
Hey, Wayne.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
I don't know if we did this already or I might have just missed it, had a blank moment. Did we shout out Carson Vinson?
Oh, no, you didn't. Know what?
Hey, we cannot leave without shouting our boy out.
Listen.
Do it. You got it, Dave.
We are here to give a big shout out to the only HBCU player drafted in the 2025 draft, Carson Vinson, for making the 53-man roster.
Let's go.
And shout out to the other HBCU players that made the roster as well. Quite a few, actually a lot of HBCU players made the 53-man roster for this season. So shout out to all of them, but especially shout out to Carson Vincent.
Yeah, man.
If you're good, they will find you.
They will find you.
You know how hard it is. Like, I know we're about to end, but you know how hard it is to even get to the league, even if you went to big schools like Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn. Mm-hmm. These guys that went to FCS schools that are predominantly black, got drafted, made it through training camp, beat out everybody around them. Those are not the 90 plus men have to get cut to 53 and made the 53 man roster. That's big, man.
Like, and you look all over. If you're good,
they will find you.
And you look all over. Dudes that played at big schools, they tails were getting cut left and right. So it don't matter about where you went to school. Like T. Gooden always say. Say it again for the people in the back, T. Gooden.
If you're good, they will find you. If you're good, they will find you. All the pretty uniforms and I got this Nike stuff at this school. It ain't worth nothing if you're on the bench. But if you're good, they will find you. You don't have to go anywhere. Like, if you're good enough, they will find you. That's all I got.
Hey, And on that note, we will see you next week. God bless you. Good night.
Peace.